Friends, we've been on a great journey these last 5 weeks exploring what it means to have a life of worship, a worship life. And next week, we get to have a great climax to that by having Dwayne Moore here as he's going to share with us. Dwayne's been in the ministry of worship for decades, and I know that we're going to be blessed next week with him being with us. Many of us have been following along in the worship life journals that we've provided during this series. Well, Dwayne's the guy that wrote those journals. How often do you get to have the author of something you're reading be here with us? So he's going to be here in our time. And if you're reading in those journals, then you know you have another week of readings yet that's going to lead you right into our time with Dwayne. So that's pretty perfect timing. I was talking to Mike this week about how we believe that this series has been impactful for a lot of people, including us. And we'd love to hear some of what God's maybe been sharing with you through this time over these last 5 weeks in your worship life. We'd love to maybe hear some testimonies of that. And the best way that we can think to do that is if you have your own smartphone, maybe you could take a time in the next day or so to record yourself for 10 seconds to a minute, just telling us something that God's been teaching you or that you've been learning or a way you've been connecting with him in worship in these weeks. And if you know how to do that and have the time to do that, you could send that video to ofcmultimedia@gmail.com. That should be on the screen behind me here at some point anyway. ofcmultimedia@gmail.com. And if you aren't techno-savvy enough to do that and would like to still share something in a video, you can get a hold of Mike. And he come in here someday this week, and he'll videotape that for you. We'd like to be able to have enough of those to put together to have kind of a testimony of what God's doing in our worship life for next Sunday. So we want to be able to do that in the next couple days. If God stirs you to do that, we'd love to have you involved. As Mike and I were talking this week, it dawned on me that perhaps the reason that many have been drawn kind of into a deeper worship life right now is because we've spent some time on this topic. We've belabored it a bit. We've spent weeks on it. In the past, I've done a week message on worship. I've never taken 5 weeks on this topic. And so by coming back to it every week, I think it's helped us to really focus and to really soak in some of the things we're talking about that deal with our worship life. And I think that's having an impact. My hope and prayer is that our time of focusing on worship and a worship life has made some of us eager just to get here, to be here Sunday mornings, to be able to worship so that we can be ushered into God's presence together. God desires our worship, and he's calling us as believers to fresh expressions of that worship all the time. Last week, someone in the church shared with me a verse from Psalm 122:1 about what God's been teaching her partly and shared this verse. This verse says this: I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It is my prayer that as we come Sunday morning for worship experiences, we can say, I am glad to be in the house of the Lord, to be with the people of the Lord, to worship the Lord. Even those who are still at home watching in this period, my prayer is they find that an extension of what's going on in this space so that they feel a part of it as we are joining to worship God together. And the truth is, I think we've desperately needed this series right now. True worship is the answer to a lot of our difficulties, a lot of our frustrations and troubles and weariness. When you learn to live a worship life, the burden of those things just begin to crumble. The burden of those things just begin to lift. Why? Because worship of the one true God creates a greater trust in the one true God. Intimate time with God brings a greater belief in him and in your situations. In my personal time with God through the weeks in this series, I came across this scripture in Psalm chapter 42, verse 11 that says this: why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. When your soul is downcast, when you're in turmoil within you, your answer won't be found in keeping your head lowered. It won't be found in pulling away from God or pulling away from others. It won't be found in focusing on your issues or on your pain. It won't be found in self-help books or internet posts for the depressed or by any other means. Your help, your answer is going to be found in hoping in God and in praising Him again. That's where your hope will be found. Your salvation, this verse tells us, is in God and in your praising Him. Praising God may not change your circumstances, but they're going to change you and your perception of your circumstances and of the one who can handle your circumstances, of God Himself. Friends, real worship, continued worship, will rescue and free you. Well, let's do a kind of a brief summary of where we've been in these few weeks leading up to this week. Throughout this series, beginning in this series and throughout, we first talked about how we define worship as loving God. And this means that we love God with our entire being, not just Sunday mornings, but Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, each day, all day, and how we live our lives. During week two, we saw how praise is lifting God through our outward expression of our love for Him. Week three helped us to understand how we cannot properly worship and praise God if you don't know Him. We have to learn of God if we want to please Him in our expressions of worship through praise. And last week we examined what our attitude and actions should be when we come together for worship. It's not about us. It's all about Him. Today we're going to look at another really important aspect of worship that most people don't think about. It's listening to God. How do we listen to God in order to worship and be renewed and directed? Most of us don't think about listening when we think about worship. We think worship is about being a one-way thing, our expressing ourselves to God, but God is never one way with us. He's always just as much about communicating and communicating Himself with us as He is about us glorifying Him. That's one of the most beautiful things about God and our worship of Him. It's a two-way thing, a two-way thing. If we're going to know how God wants us to praise Him and to live a life of worship for Him, then it only stands to reason that we need to learn to listen to God. We need to learn to listen to God. In any relationship that's important to you, in any relationship that's important to you, you have to learn to listen, don't you? If I'm your friend, but every time that we're together, I do all the talking, I never stop and listen to you, you're likely going to grow frustrated with our friendship. In fact, in a relationship, listening is far more important than our talking, isn't it? God has always been speaking to His children, and He's speaking to us today. And we need to learn to listen to Him. There are at least four ways that God speaks to us. Four main ways He speaks to us. You know what they are? Let's take some time looking at them. Number one, first way God speaks to us is God speaks through Scripture, through the Bible, through His Word. Why do you think we've been talking in these past few weeks so much about getting into God's Word, about reading large portions of God's Word and stopping and writing what you're learning as you do? Because, friends, God will speak to you through His Word. By studying and meditating upon God's Word, we can listen for what God's saying to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 teach this. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God and woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Did you catch what that verse teaches Scripture will do for you? It's going to teach you. Reproof you. Now, what's reproof? Reproof means to help you know when you're going off track and to guide you back onto God's track. Reproof you. It will correct you. Some people don't want to be corrected. They're too prideful for that. That's me sometimes. I don't want to be corrected sometimes, but in my heart of hearts, I need to be corrected. If I need to be, I want to be corrected. I really do. It just might take me a bit to process it and to be willing to accept it. but it will correct you. It will, Scripture will train you in righteousness. The word righteous means to be right with. So Scripture is going to train you in what it means to be right with God when you walk with God. Those are the things that Scripture speaks. It speaks to us in all of these things, and not so to make us feel condemned or to make us feel judged or to make us feel bad about ourselves, but as this passage says, so that God may make us complete and equipped for every good work. That's a very good thing. A very good thing. And this passage says that God's word is breathed out by God. Friends, that means that God wrote it, that God wrote the Bible. He used other people to pen it to paper, but he breathed out his communication to us through them. God speaks to us through Scripture, so if we're not reading it, in fact, what we're doing is we're tuning a deaf ear to God. If we don't take time in his word, we're saying, I don't really care what God has to say to me. Now hear me, we're going to talk about three other ways that God speaks to us, but understand that Scripture, what we're talking about here, is the primary way. It's the primary way, no matter what other means God may use to communicate. It has to be congruent with what's written in God's already spoken word, written word. If what we feel God is speaking to us runs counter to the Bible, then guess what? You're not hearing God's voice. You're not. You may be hearing the voice of someone else. You may be hearing your own voice or your own desire, or you may hear the devil trying to disguise his voice as God's voice, but if it doesn't match God's word that he's already given us, it's not God that you're hearing. So as we look at the three other ways that God speaks to us, you need to keep that fact in mind, all right? Here's a second way God speaks to us. God speaks through other believers. Other believers. God also uses godly men and women to speak to us counsel in our lives. It's good to seek counsel from others who you know love Jesus and who you trust to be honest with you. Now, you're really going to only want to do that and consider the counsel of those who seek their life counsel from God and his word as well themselves. Another person can't give you what they're not taking in by Holy Spirit for themselves. Otherwise, it won't be God speaking to you. It's just going to be their best guess or their opinion. They may be able to have some good advice, but if you want God's advice, it has to be somebody who's connected with God, right? Another important thing is that you don't go out just asking others over and over until you get the answer that you want and that you're looking for. If I'm really seeking to hear from God in an area of my life, and I'm not sure what God's word is really telling me, and I don't like what God's word, or I don't like what God's word is telling me, so I go and I get Mike's opinion on it, but I don't really like what Mike has to say, so I go to get Matt's opinion, but I don't really like what Matt has to say, so I keep going and getting other opinions. That's not seeking to hear from God, is it? No, I'm just chasing after someone who's going to tell me what my itching ears already want to hear. And Scripture tells us that's a pitfall. I'd just be looking for someone to justify what I already know in my heart is wrong, right? If I just go and go and go until I get somebody to tell me what I want that fits what I already believe, I'm not seeking to hear from God. I'm seeking to justify something that I know is wrong. And the truth is, if you ask enough people, you're probably going to find somebody who's going to tell you what you want to hear, but it won't be God speaking. However, I've had godly believers who have just spoken truth into my life many times over my life, and it's a credible source. People who love God can speak into us. I recently remembered a person who regularly did that in my life back when I was in college. And in our journey class that met last Sunday afternoon, this person came to my mind, so I shared that with them when I was there. But when I was in college and attending a really alive church for Jesus, there were several men and women of God in that church who God called into different kinds of ministry through that church. It was a beautiful season of sending in that church, sending people into ministry. One of them was a guy named Jim Wheeler. And I'm guessing Jim was probably around in his 50s at that time. I'm not real sure. When you're 18 or 19, everybody seems old. And now that I'm 50-something, that seems young. But so I'm guessing he was in his 50s. maybe late 50s, maybe early 60s. I don't know. He could still play basketball with us, but I think he was in his 50s. He came to Christ when he was around 30 years old, and he loved the Lord like very few people that I've ever known in life. And this guy loved Jesus. He just loved Jesus. And Jim had gone on to pastor a small church in our community, left the church we were at and took the pastor spot in the small church. So my friends and I love to take some Sundays and slip over to his church just to be near Jim and his heart for God and just to hear what he would have to say, because he was always speaking truth from God. While in college, I went with the church I was attending to a mission trip to Chicago. Our youth are going to Chicago this summer. And any youth that are in the room, I'm just going to tell you, that trip changed my life. And if you're still considering whether you want to go on the mission trip, you need to really consider going on this mission trip to Chicago. Matt's going to be talking about that in a couple weeks with the rest of the church, but that's coming up this summer. But we were doing this mission trip to Chicago, and Jim went with us on this trip, Jim Wheeler did. And the whole week, he just kept calling me fearless leader. He'd say, oh, there's the fearless leader, and he just kept doing that. And then when we came home from the trip, whenever I would see Jim and run into him, he would say, oh, there's the fearless leader. Friends, at that point in my life, I never looked at myself as any kind of a leader. I thought I was just a follower. I never even considered being a leader, but through Jim and his words, God spoke life into me, and God spoke a leader into me. God used Jim to speak about a truth in me that God knew was in me that I had no idea was in me. And to be honest, without Jim regularly speaking that word of life into me, I'm not sure I would have ever stepped into any leadership role for Jesus at all. God often speaks through saints, through real believers who are connected to him into our lives, and it's a beautiful thing. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in abundance of counselors, there is safety. Who are your board of counselors for Jesus in your life? Who are those people that you have in your life that you trust that you can go to? Who are the trusted people that you know that you can go to who love Jesus more than they love you? And so they're going to be straight and they're going to be honest with you, speaking life into you that comes from the breath of God. Who are those people? It's important to have such a board. I'll give you the names of some of the people that are on my spiritual board of counselors. These are people that I go to when I have major decisions that I have in life, when I'm trying to discern God's word and his voice, and I'm praying and I'm consulting the Bible and I'm discerning with my wife and I need to speak to somebody. I'm likely to call my friends Derek, Lee, Jason, David. There are others, there have been others through other times, but these are the guys who've been my counseling board for years. They don't live near me now, but I know that I can call on them whenever I need to, and they're going to speak life into me over my situation. I trust them because I know they love Jesus more than they love me, and they're not going to misdirect me on purpose. Third way that God speaks to us, God speaks through situations of life. Many times we don't think about it that way. That a situation is for God to speak to us, but God often uses circumstances and situations in our life to get our attention to speak to us. Romans 2:4 says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does that mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? You may go through some horrible, awful circumstances in your life where God doesn't cause those things, but he's going to use those things in his kindness, in his tolerant patience to talk to you, maybe about a sin in your life or a situation in your life or about something that circumstance is going to open you up to be willing to listen to him. A fourth way God speaks to us is through Holy Spirit. God speaks to us through the person of Holy Spirit who lives within us as believers. And the more that you come to know God and recognize his voice, the easier it's going to be to discern what God is saying. Jesus tells us about this in John chapter 15, verse 26. He says, but when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Jesus is talking there to his disciples about the Holy Spirit coming, and he calls him a helper. That same helper lives in the heart of every born-again believer in Jesus, and he teaches us and leads us as we learn to listen to him. Because listen, he is speaking. He is speaking. Friends, God desires to speak to us, and we need to learn to listen to him if we're going to worship him in spirit, the spirit and in truth. So let's spend the rest of our time learning to listen to God. Some things to help us to learn to listen to God. In order to listen to God, there are three aspects of listening we need to consider. And the first aspect is this, the foundation of listening. The foundation. If we're going to listen to what God has to say to us, then there are two requirements that Scripture points out as a foundation for our listening. The first requirement is this. In order to listen to the Savior, you need to have a saved relationship with him. In order to listen to the Savior, you need to have a saved relationship with him. And that only makes sense, doesn't it? You might not be a believer, and you may still hear from God from time to time, but in order to actually have a listening relationship with God, with Jesus, where you listen to him and hear from him, you need to have and understand what he's done for you on the cross. That he's died for you, that he's died for your sins and have received salvation through him and what he's done for you and forgiveness through him and what he's done for you. Hear what Jesus says in John 10, 1 through 6. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger, they will not follow him, and flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Am I skipping a verse? I lost my place there for a moment. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Jesus says that that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Know the voice of the shepherd. Further, he says in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now, if Jesus is the shepherd, the good shepherd, then for us to hear and to know his voice and to listen to what he has to say, we need to be one of his sheep, right? The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. In other words, we need to have a saved relationship with him where you believe that he died for your sins and you've embraced him into your heart and into your life. Listen, friends, contrary to what the other voices in our culture may say to you, even right now, other voices in the culture of the church, unfortunately. Regardless of what some other voices may be telling us today, Jesus makes it clear that he's the only way to have salvation. And confessing Jesus as your Savior is the only way for you to be saved with security in this life and for eternity with God. In Acts chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, it makes this clear to us. It says, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And Jesus himself says this of himself. In John 14:6, Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So friends, understand the implications of what Jesus is saying there. I am the only way. I am the only way to God. I am the only way you can be saved. Understand those implications. Either Jesus is delusional, some kind of crazy man, or he's a liar trying to scam us, or he's telling the truth. He's the only way to heaven. Those are the only choices we have. He's claiming it of himself, so either he's making it up or it's true. Well, I know which of those options I believe, and I've experienced hearing from God through that, through Jesus. If you want to listen to God, then the first building block is the foundation, a saved relationship with God through Jesus. And if you're here this morning, if you're watching this morning and cannot hear the voice of God in your life, then I challenge you to examine your heart and to ask yourself if you really know Jesus as your Savior. Do you really know him as your Savior? I'm not making any judgments. I'm not declaring that you do or you don't. It's not mine to declare. But listen to me. If you're not sure where you are with Jesus, you can be today. You can be. It's easy as ABC. A, admit you need your need and your sin. Romans 3, 23 and 24 say, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. All of us have sinned. We have to admit that. B, believe in Jesus. Acts 16, 31 says, and they said, believe in the Lord and you will be saved. C, commit yourself to Jesus. John 1, 12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to be children of God. If you've not accepted Jesus, don't wait. What do you have to wait for? Do it right now. As a matter of fact, let's just stop right here in the middle of the message just for a moment. We'll come back to the rest in a moment. But if there's anybody in this room who isn't sure, you're not sure whether you've been saved by Jesus, you've been forgiven of your sins, you're not sure you've ever made a commitment to him, let's just pray right now. So everybody just bow your heads, just close your eyes, and let's just take a moment to pray. God, if there's anybody in our presence today, in this room or at home, if the internet's working, I'm not sure if it is or not, but God, who's ever in the presence of my voice right now and of your Holy Spirit presence with us, who isn't sure today that if they died, they would be with you. They're not sure if they've been forgiven or been saved of their sins, that right now they just would confess it to you and say to you those simple three steps. Admit their need. God, I need you. I've sinned. Forgive me of that. And believe in Jesus. I believe, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are who you said you are, and you're my way to God. And then to commit themselves to you. God, I am yours. Forgive me of my sins. I'm believing you. I'm committing my life to you. Just a simple prayer like that. Just pray that to yourself. I'm going to be quiet a moment. And you pray that in your own heart if that's where you're at. Forgive me. I believe in you. I'm committing to you. And friends, for anyone in this room who's prayed a prayer like that to God, and that's not a formula. You don't have to get the words just right. The heart's got to be right. If you've prayed a prayer like that, you've just stepped into a new relationship with God that you didn't have before. And you're now in a place to begin to receive and hear from him and listen to him like you've not been able to do before. And God is celebrating, and so are the angels, and so are we. So we just are thankful for anybody that's prayed that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And you know, if you prayed that, I would love to connect with you. I hang out right here after the worship experience, and you're welcome to come chat with me if you've done that for the first time and want any kind of encouragement. Would love to do that with you when we're done today. There's a second requirement to listening to God. Not only do we need to have a saved relationship with him, friends, but the second one is you need to be surrendered to God. There are many of us who have a saved relationship with Jesus, but we just are hanging on to our own control. We're just holding on. We're not willing to let God have control of our lives. We've been talking about that in this series. We need to submit ourselves to God's will and allow him to guide our daily walk with him. In order for us to do this, we need to remain close to God. And James 4, 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. By surrendering to God, obeying his word, the Bible, we'll better be able to hear his voice and understand it. Trying to listen to God without being surrendered to God is like trying to listen to someone when you're standing next to them at a rock concert or at a football game when everybody's screaming. Have you ever had that experience before? I hate that. The music's blasting in the room and somebody's trying to talk to you beside you and you can't hear anything they're saying, or they're screaming at the football game and you're trying to hear them. And you know, I find the older I get, the harder I can't hear them. I've been to too many rock concerts in my day. But when somebody's next to you yelling and you're straining to hear them, and I want to just say, just stop. Just stop trying. Talk to me later. We can't communicate in this environment, right? The same is true when we're not surrendered to God, but pretend that we want to hear from him. You understand what that's like? I want to hear from God, but I'm not really surrendered to you. That's pretending, isn't it? We don't really want to hear from him if we're not going to listen to him. When you're not surrendered, you're out there in life making all your choices, all your decisions yourself, regardless of God's will and his way for your life. And the more that you do, the more the distractions are going to grow and the louder the noise is going to become around you. And so God's going to be speaking to you, but you're not going to hear him because you're too enamored by the show that's on the stage, by everything you're hearing around you in life. You get blocked out from hearing his voice. And that's why for some people, it takes a cataclysmic event to quiet them enough to finally listen. Something major has to happen to, like a not God doing it to you, but just to shock you enough to be willing to listen to him and actually hear him. It's like the lights going off during the show or the plugs get pulled. All of a sudden, the room's quiet and dark, and all you can do is sit and listen. Sometimes events have to cause that in our life. That's what happened with 9/11. Did you know that 2021 will mark the 20th anniversary of the two jets flying into the Twin Towers in New York City? Do you know what happened when that event happened? Many people went running to the churches. Why? Because for a few weeks or at least a few days, they were quieted. It shut everybody up. Everybody got quiet for a moment and they finally were in a place to be able to hear from God. And so people went running to the churches to try to hear something from God in this cataclysmic event. If we just lived surrendered to God, we'd have the privilege of hearing from him all the time. When a Christian isn't surrendered to God's will, we disobey God. We move farther and farther away from him. And the farther we move away from him, the more the noise interference of this world hinders our ability to hear God at all. It's like a cell phone moving away from any present cell tower. The further you move, the less bars you have in the phone. The signal gets weaker. You start dropping calls until eventually you lose signal altogether, and then you got nothing but a camera in your pocket, right? You can't use it to call. You can't use it to text. You can't get online. It's just this brick in your pocket. You can take some pictures of your surrounding, but you can't use it for anything if it's not connected to the source, correct? And the thing is that many people have become reliant on that phone so much that they carry it everywhere. Have you ever been around somebody panicking because they can't get a signal on their phone? I mean, for crying out loud, if you're a teenager, they may have a panic attack. It can get pretty ugly, right? We need to be that reliant on God and our communication with him. If we want to listen to God, we've got to surrender to him. And that keeps our signal strong. And we're talking better than 5G connection here. Really connected to God through surrendering. Being saved and being surrendered, that's the foundation of listening to God. There's a second aspect of listening to God. These next two things we'll go through a little more quickly. The second is the fundamentals of listening. These fundamentals of listening to God are some of the things that we've been hitting on in this series. And that's why they're called fundamentals. My son Eli just finished his basketball season playing for Christian Basketball League in the region. He personally had a great season with remarkable defense, strong offense, a great team perspective. It was his personal best year. The team, not so much, but it was his personal best year. And you want to know why that's true? It's because from the time the season ended last season, he started working on the fundamentals. And he did it all the way up and through the summer until this season started. And it had an impact. Fundamentals are the things that you do that you keep revisiting to make your play strong when you get into the game. These are the fundamentals we're going to talk about here, to listening, to strong listening when you're living out your faith for real. That leads to a worship life. Here are the fundamentals. The first fundamental is this: being a person of prayer. Being a person of prayer. Friends, don't ever overlook the value of prayer. C.H. Spurgeon was one of the most popular and successful preachers in Victorian England. His Metropolitan Tabernacle drew thousands each Sunday. Often hundreds would be standing outside in the street just trying to catch a bit of what this Baptist preacher was preaching in his messages. And one day a group of young seminary students came during the week to visit the church they'd heard so much about. And when they entered the huge building, a gray-bearded gentleman they thought was the janitor met them. He offered to lead them through a tour in the facilities and answer any questions that they had. Well, they walked through the sanctuary. They stood behind the pulpit. They looked down from the balcony. And when they'd seen just about everything and asked about every conceivable question they could think of, the old gentleman asked a strange question. He said, "Would you like to see what heats this church? What heats this church?" They weren't that interested in touring the coal cellar or the furnace room, but just to humor their host, they followed. Well, they went down a narrow stairwell to an area beneath the pulpit, and the gentleman opened the door, and before he said, "Behind this door is the secret of this great church. Everything that happens upstairs starts down here. This is where the fire in the pulpit begins." The old man, as you've probably figured out by now, was Charles Spurgeon himself. Opened the door to reveal several dozen people on their knees in fervent prayer. The great pastor would always insist that the secret of any church, big or small, was the prayer of the people. It was Spurgeon who said, "I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach." One man to pray than 10 men to preach. Prayer is a pivotal fundamental to listening to God. It's our line of communication. If you're not praying, you're not listening. And if you want to see the worship life of the church really, really change, then let's begin to be a church on our knees before the one that we come to worship. Here's the second fundamental of listening. And I've been saying this through this whole series. We were talking about it in the Refined series a bit as well. Be a person of Bible study. Be a person of Bible study. We have to take time to study God's word because it's the primary way that God speaks to us. And as I've been saying, I believe that right now God is really calling believers in the church to read his word, big sections of his word, not a verse or two a day, but chapters a day. Listen to me. From my personal experience, I've been doing this with great regularity, a few chapters every day, and then writing something that God's telling me in that reading ever since I began recovering from COVID in December. And God's been speaking to me through his word more clearly than I've experienced in a long time. I've been reading God's word ever since I came to life with Jesus 36 years ago, but God's doing something really different with his word right now that I believe he wants to do for all believers. I've talked to some other believers, some of my own family, who God's just speaking to them in his word. God's opening his word to us right now, church. We have got to be on God's word. If you want to really listen to God at all, you've got to be in God's word. He's going to reveal things to you you've not had revealed before. If you will commit yourself, if you will dedicate yourself to doing it. Listen to these words from Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night." As one of the fundamentals of listening to God, we need to be deep-rooted, have a deep-rooted commitment to study and meditate on his word, and you will be blessed for that. You will be. If you're not making spending time with God a daily priority of your life, you'll find a lot of struggles and distractions and being able to hear God at all. Reading God's word, what it does is allows you to learn his language. It allows you to learn his language. You hear him more because you know his heart more. His heart is all through his word. Sometimes my wife and I can finish each other's sentences because we know each other's hearts and minds better all the time. Knowing God's word helps you to hear him because you're knowing his heart and mind better all the time. Sometimes we can finish our sentences before we even finish them, and sometimes you'll hear God speaking before he speaks because you know his heart and mind so well. The foundation of listening to God is being in a saved relationship with him and being surrendered to him. The fundamentals of listening are being a people of prayer and a people of Bible study. And our final aspect of listening, we're going to talk about this, is the fortunes of listening. The fortunes. You know, we could easily spend another hour talking about the benefits of listening to God, but our time's winding down. So let me quickly share two benefits. One is this: you'll grow in grace and wisdom. You'll grow in grace and wisdom. Without exception, hear me, without exception, the most gracious and wisest people that I've personally ever known in this world are the ones who deeply know Jesus, are surrendered to him, and spend regular time in his word and in prayer. Without exception, the most gracious, wisest people that I know. And it's a different kind of wisdom. It's a heavenly wisdom, a godly wisdom, not a worldly wisdom, not what the world can teach us. That stuff's not worth anything. It's a wisdom from heaven because they've been listening to God. God will reveal to you understanding and insight that you never thought was possible. He'll reveal his word to you, and you'll begin to understand his character and your purpose like you've never known before. He'll help you know where to go, what to do, and when to do it. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil." When you listen to God, when we listen to God, we experience the fortune of grace and wisdom. And second, you'll experience more powerful worship. More powerful worship. That's what this whole series has been about, right? Is our worship life. Well, most people, when they think about worship, they think it all has to do with our singing, our praying, our saying, our behavior, what we're doing to express something. But worship life listens to God. A worship life listens to God. Worshiping isn't just about energy, being loud, making the most noise for God. It's also about, the Bible tells us this, Psalms tells us this, being still and knowing that he's God. Be still and know that I am God. How often do you just be still in your worship of him? Just be still to listen to him. Be quiet before God. Listening to him so that we know his will and we know his way, which leads us to a life that's lived for him, which is what? A worship life. Listening to God enhances our worship. As we listen to God, we get to know him better. We begin to love and appreciate him even more. And since worship is about loving God, when we listen, we'll grow in our love for him, and our worship will grow to be more intense and to be more powerful. You know, I could go on, but it's time for us to stop and spend a little time just listening. I want to challenge you this morning to take some time to listen to what God might be saying to you. Now, if you have a hard time hearing God, and you know on a regular basis you're hard time hearing his voice this morning, then take this time to check your own relationship with him. Take time to say, "Lord, search my heart and show me my ways. Show me my wicked ways. Create in me a clean heart." Check yourself. Are you in a saved relationship with him? Are you surrendered to him? Have you been praying? Have you been spending time in his word, the Bible? If not, what you need to do in this time today is to make a commitment today to begin to listen to him, to do those things that allow you to really listen to him. So through this series, I've really felt like, you know, well, I want to really get us really worshiping God, and by the time we get to the closing song, I want it to be really big, so we're just really all with gusto, just singing loud and praising God. That's been my hope every week, but not this week. Not today. Today I want us just to sit and listen. Just to sit and listen to God's voice. You can let the words, so Mark's going to do a song here in a minute, you can let those words help you if they help, or just don't even listen to it if you need to just focus on hearing from God. But I just want you to listen and hear from God. And if you're watching at home, I want you to do the same thing there. When we're done, after we've spent some time listening, I want to come back up. And then we're going to celebrate communion together. And if you didn't get one of the cups, you can grab one of those in this time that are out there in the atrium. But we're going to let that be our closure as the body of Christ. in this worship season that we're in. So I want a little bit quiet first. Let's just be quiet and pray. God, there is no question in your word as to whether you're speaking. You are speaking to your people. The only question is, are we listening? And another question is, are we in a place to listen? Have we surrendered ourselves enough to you to even hear from you? Or are we like in that rock concert where it's so loud around us that we can't hear you? And until we clear some of that stuff out of the way, we're not going to hear from you. Maybe this morning is about the surrender for some. Maybe some just need to make their seat their altar and get on their knees before you, or come up front and do that. Or maybe for you it's about the commitment today so that I can begin to listen. But I also believe, God, that this morning you want to speak some things to us. And so, God, open our ears. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our spirit, that we will receive from you, that we will hear you speak into us. Holy Spirit, speak this morning to your people, your church. Holy Spirit, speak. Allow us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Mike, I want you just to let it hang quiet for a little bit before you do the song. Don't jump right into it. A little bit of music's fine, but give it a few minutes. Friends, as you're listening, just ask, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Jesus, what are you speaking to me right now? And sit and listen. So my question is, did anybody hear God speak anything to them? I can tell you the one thing, I felt like I was just kind of waiting and listening. It wasn't until Mike sang, and to me it was just a line, be still and know. I felt like God was just saying to me, just be still. Just know that I'm God. The only thing else right now, just be still. Just know that I'm God. Anybody? I'd love to hear it. If you say it loud enough for us to hear, anybody hear God say anything to you? Yeah, just go ahead and shout it out.
Got the strength to be able to tell my
Thank you for sharing that word. Anybody else? Let go of the world. Forgiving. Would you say it again, Jerry? Jeff, Jerry's brother, and going through some very difficult times, and just trusting God with that. Not about me, it's about him.
Picturing a mountain with a lot of rubble on it, we're climbing that, and every once in a while there's a golden beam that shoots through, and that's God's word. Just keep reaching for the next handhold or foothold, and that's where he is. So don't be distracted by all of the junk that's piled
up. Amen. Word against distraction. Friends, there was a time that Jesus spoke. If you take the cup that you have. And, everything Jesus said had purpose and reason. I believe everything that he said, even the things that we don't have recorded, had purpose and reason. And when he met with his dearest disciples the last night before he would be betrayed, and taken and nailed to a Roman cross, he shared a meal with them, and he used some words, I think, that were very intentional, that he was speaking life that would go through the ages down to where we sit today. And he said, every time you take this bread, every time you take this cup, remember me. I want you to think about that for a moment. That's the word of God speaking. That's Jesus speaking to them, already knowing they don't understand what he's talking about. But when the church is born, they're going to come together and celebrate what Jesus did, his body broken, his blood shed, that he's going to celebrate them, and they're take and eat, and every time remember. And if we ever take and eat and we stop remembering what he did, then we're just doing a ritual. We missed what it's all about. So every time you take this bread, every time you take this cup, do it in remembrance of me, remembering what I did for you, so that you can be in a relationship to hear from me and speak to me and know me. If you'll find the clear top, don't pull back the foil, just the clear to get to the bread. We'll use the term bread loosely here, but pull out that wafer. Friends, take this bread and remember. Take and eat. You pull back the foil from the cup. I don't think Jesus had foil. We'll take what we can get. Think of his blood that's been shed for you. And every time you drink it, in whatever fashion you drink it, remember what he's done for you, how he's spoken life into you, take and drink. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you love us enough to be intimately involved in our lives, that a worship life isn't about just what we say or sing to you. It's about being quiet before you and listening. And I pray that in this week, that the body of Christ that's in our presence and those that are watching at home, that as the body of Christ, we would hear from you this week in new and tangible ways, that we would open your word and you would speak to us through it, that we would engage you in prayer and we would hear the wisdom of heaven through your Holy Spirit, that we would be around other godly believers who you would use to speak a word of life into us. God, that your Holy Spirit would just continue talking to us, and we would recognize it, and we would learn to have an ear to hear, that we would learn your voice because we come to know you, and we would let that guide our lives when it's your word, God, speak to us and allow us to listen and to hear. We love you. We're all about worshiping you, and we want a life that does that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you next week with Dwayne. Bring some friends with you because it's going to be really special. God bless you. Have a great week.